From NPR News, this is News in No Time. Tony Cox in for Farah Chidea, who was off today. In a bombshell that has rocked Washington, former White House press secretary and Bush loyalist Scott McClellan is bashing the president and his inner circle over their handling of the Iraq War and Hurricane Katrina. On the campaign trail, meanwhile, President Bush is stumping for John McCain out west and raising money for the presumptive GOP nominee. But how risky is it for McCain to be close to the politically wounded president? And a squabble over a GI Bill for war veterans gets personal between John McCain and Barack Obama. Here to help us sort through all the political happenings, we have Mary Frances Berry, a professor of history at the University of Pennsylvania. She is also the former chair of the U.S. Civil Rights Commission. And Ron Christie, vice president of the lobbying group DC Navigators. He is also a former special assistant to President George W. Bush. Hello, folks.
Hello there, Tony.
Very nice to be with you.
We've got a lot of stuff to talk about today, so let's get right to it. Late yesterday, we learned that Scott McClellan, a former press secretary to President Bush, is releasing a new book, the title of which is What Happened Inside the Bush White House and Washington's Culture of Deception. Now, Ron, that title in itself says a lot. McClellan goes on to heavily criticize the president and his administration for the Iraq War and his handling of Hurricane Katrina, among other things. The irony of this is that McClellan and Bush go back to Bush's days as governor of Texas, and when McClellan retired back in 2006 as White House press secretary, the president had some great things to say about him.
One of these days, he and I are going to be rocking on chairs in Texas talking about the good old days of his time as the press secretary, and I can assure you I will feel the same way then that I feel now, that I can say to Scott, job well done.
Boy, what a difference a day makes. Ron, is this the ultimate betrayal?
This is the ultimate betrayal, Tony, and I am just so disappointed and disgusted with what we've heard in the media reports over the last 24 hours. I had the opportunity to serve as a special assistant to the President of the United States and was in the Bush administration from 2001 to 2004, and I had the opportunity to write a book about my experiences. I think it is the ultimate act of betrayal to, while the president is still in office, to write a kiss-all, tell-all book, and the perceptions that are at least that have been out in the media are that Scott was very disappointed with the president's decisions about Hurricane Katrina and the war in Iraq, when candidly, as the press secretary, your job is not a policy analyst, your job is not to be making military decisions, your job is to be the spokesperson and the voice and the focal point for the administration. So for some of these allegations that are coming out in the book and some of the comments, I think they are well out of bounds. They display a lack of candor, a lack of, candidly, sincerity, and a lack of loyalty that I think, while Scott might cash in the short term, I think that they will come back to haunt him, and he's going to reap what he sows with this book.
Well, Mary, what might prompt someone like McClellan to do this, and to do it now in the middle of such a heated presidential campaign?
Book sales, money. Whenever I'm never impressed when people who are in administrations who know that they were misled about some matters long before they ever leave stay until they're pushed out, which is what happened to him in 2006, and then write a book and then write it under these circumstances. I don't care what administration it is. And also, you can kick George Bush when he's down. I mean, he's down the polls. Nobody, you know, wants to support him. Scott McClellan wants to have life after this. But what I thought was more important in my view, because there was nothing new in here. We know that Katrina stuff was a mess. We know that the Iraq thing was a mess and that we were lied to, was what it said about the media, that the media was complicit in portraying the story in such a way that it impressed the American people that they were telling the truth at first about this war, and it took forever for the media to get itself straightened out. And that's because the media loves to suck up to White Houses and report whatever they say. If you had to rely on the major media White House correspondents way back in Watergate, we never would have found out anything.
Well, you have a point there. Let me follow up with you both on this because and we were all there during Watergate. This is an election year, obviously, and McClellan's revelations about how the White House spun stories, to go to your point, Mary, concerning everything from Katrina to the war. Do stories like this make it more difficult for the American people to trust not only the president, but the government as a whole to do the right thing? Ryan, Absolutely. Mary, you first.
Absolutely. Let me go first.
Okay.
Absolutely, I think it does. And also, when you find out belatedly and you're out there in the public and you're believing what you read and hear and see in the media, and then you find out that it was all poppycock and it was all distorted and made up, and then you have people who are in the administration who tell you the same thing, then you wonder if you're going to get fooled the next time. It's sort of like in 2000 when the media portrayed Al Gore as this boring guy that you wouldn't want to have as president and trashed him, and then we got Bush, and then look what happened. So I think it does undermine trust and confidence on the part of the public.
What do you say to that, Ron?
I think that's too dramatic. I mean, I have great affection for my friend Mary, but here I think you're talking about a disgruntled former White House press secretary who makes allegations that I don't believe are true about what he had heard or what he had seen, but it looks bad. I mean, the public is, you know, the disapproval of Congress is at 75%. The president's approval ratings are very low. I think it will add to a certain degree of cynicism of all those people inside the Beltway are doing their own thing. But I don't think that Scott McClellan's book is going to dramatically alter the American landscape and their faith in the system. We've had a system of government that's worked well for over 200 years, and I think one Kissall trying to sell out my soul and make a dollar book is not going to really shake the foundation of the American people's belief in democracy.
Ron, what I really meant was that what he said about the media and my own view about the media spin on stuff undermines confidence in the media's doing its duty to report fairly on issues and undermines public confidence. Sure, Scott McClellan all by himself, he may make some money out of the book, but that's about as far as it'll go.
Let me hit one more quick point with this, with the two of you before we move on, because both of you are Washington insiders, and I mean that in a loving sort of way.
We'll take what we can get.
Yeah.
What happens to McClellan, do you think? I mean, we know he probably will make some money off of the book, but how will he be treated in Washington as a result of this?
It depends on who wins the election.
That's interesting.
And if McCain wins and the Republicans are all back in power in the executive branch again, he becomes sort of persona non grata, in my view, although Ron would know more about his own party, because he has been disloyal, and he is reporting all this stuff. If McCain doesn't win and Obama, whoever wins, or Clinton, if she gets a nomination, it's probably Obama, he will be seen as somebody who helped to shine the spotlight on the bad stuff that happened with Bush.
What do you say, Ron?
Well, I've spoken to two very senior members of the president's senior staff earlier this morning, and their disappointment in Scott's actions with this book could not be more pronounced and profound. In Washington, D.C., Tony, as Mary knows very well, all you have is your name and your reputation, and I think Scott McClellan being a force to be reckoned with or a player in the Republican Party in Washington, D.C. is over.
You know, we took more time dealing with that than we had intended, but it was such good stuff, I couldn't stop you. So let's move on to one other topic related to this in the short time that we have left, because speaking of the presidential campaign, the president outstumping for John McCain this week and, more importantly, raising money for him, but not very publicly, and that seems to be the issue. This is quite a tightrope that McCain is walking, isn't it, Ron, to try to be with the president in terms of garnering the support that the president will bring, but not too close.
It's a very delicate walk to tightrope to balance upon. Senator McCain, on one hand, needs the president to help him. The president has still a very strong level of support within the conservative community. They still love him. They still are very happy that he's the president of the United States. But Senator McCain, for wanting to reach the so-called Reagan Democrats, wanting to reach the independents and reach other folks who might be willing to work for him or vote for him, I should say, are going to be very leery of John McCain when I think Senator Obama has done a very good job of trying to portray McCain as being the third term of the Bush administration. McCain doesn't want to be too close to the president for that very reason. He still wants to have that maverick streak that he's inherited and built up over the years, and he still wants to be able to say, I've disagreed with this White House and this administration on many things. I'm still a maverick. I'm still someone of a lone voice, but I'm a Republican. So it will be very interesting while he's going for the president's power and the president's popularity with the conservatives and using that fundraising machine. It'll be interesting to see whether or not he can walk and balance on that tightrope to get the independents and the Reagan Democrats.
You may get the last word on this,
and
Mary.
And McCain, basically, in other terms, he had a good week. His nuclear proliferation speech was his new departure was good, even if vague. This is going to be a tightrope, but I think he can walk it. But he's got to avoid that label of the third-term Bush, which isn't really accurate. But if it sticks to him, he's dead in the water.
If I'm Obama or Clinton, I want the latest picture of Bush and McCain together, don't I? And I want to put that in every TV ad that I can
get. Oh, absolutely. And you don't even have to get the latest one. Just get one.
Yeah, Mary, take the one that they had when McCain went to visit the president at the White House. If I was the DNC, I would have that ad up on every opportunity I could get of Bush and McCain, McCain and Bush.
Let me ask you, Ryan, we got about 30 seconds or so for this answer, because you were in the Bush administration. How hurt do you think the president is by this, or is he accustomed to what goes on in Washington and this just bounces off of him really quickly?
Very quickly, I think both. I think the president's used to the rough and tumble nature of Washington politics, and he expects people to take shots at him. But working for this president, working this administration in this White House, it was a very tight-knit family. The president took a lot of time to get to know the staff who immediately surrounded him and worked for him. And I'm sure this level of disloyalty, particularly from someone who he knew back in Texas, has got to sting him a bit.
And it doesn't, but it doesn't matter, because his administration is almost over, and it doesn't have any policy implications at this point.
It's got to hurt, though. It's got to hurt.
I'm sure it hurts, personally.
Mary and Ron, thank you so much. Mary Frances Berry is a professor of history at the University of Pennsylvania and the former chair of the U.S. Civil Rights Commission. She joined us from our NPR studios in Washington, D.C. And Ron Christie is vice president of the lobbying group DC Navigators.